This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The television version of this show airs on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. An inmate named Charles Lee Johnson has died at the Kinross Correctional Facility in Michigan, one of the prisons that had participated in a nationwide prisoner work strike. Johnson is one of three prisoners that have died within Michigan prisons in just the past month. Prison authorities put the Kinross facility on lockdown for days after a work stoppage in September. The grievances of inmates stem from extremely harsh conditions inside the facilities. Details are now emerging of severe retaliation that includes solitary confinement, transfers to other facilities, and even new charges against the prisoners. My guest is Duncan Tarr. He is an activist with the Michigan Prison Abolition Group. He's also a student and worker at Michigan State University. Welcome to the program, Duncan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, tell us about the way in which inmates have had participated in the nationwide prisoner work stoppage that took place in September. Of course, it's very hard to get a sense of what takes place inside prisons when you're on the outside because it's not easy to get communication. But specifically at Kinross and even at other prisons in Michigan, how did workers participate? Prisoners who are workers?
Yeah, so to get an idea of what happened on the September 9th Nationwide Day of Action, we have to go back a few months to the spring where the Michigan Department of Corrections switched its private contractors that were providing food to the prisons from Aramark to a company called Trinity over widespread reporting on the rottenness of the food, people finding maggots in their food. And when this new contractor came in, Trinity, all the prisoners all across Michigan said it was the same food. It was the same people just wearing a different uniform. And there was a series of like one day food protests that all across the prison system in Michigan at four different prisons. Thousands of prisoners would refuse to eat meals. So following that, and one of those prisons was Kinross, where things sort of heated up in this September. So on September 9th, there was a total work stoppage at Kinross Correctional Facility in the Upper Peninsula. And so that means that kitchen workers refused to cook and to serve food, as well as people doing sort of like landscaping, working in the yard. Basically, no one went to work on the day of the 9th. And what followed was the prison officials totally struggled on how to adequately feed the prisoners, and they were giving them really inadequate food. They're called bag lunches, just like a little tiny sandwich. And that led to prisoners on the morning of September 10th, a Saturday morning, to stage a 500-person protest march in the prison yard. And that's when things began to heat up. And the prison authorities said that they would come in and hear the prisoners' demands, but they were using that as a subterfuge. And as prisoners went back to their cells, they sent in this tactical team armed with shotguns and rifles and started pulling prisoners out of their cells, zip-tying them, leaving them in the prison yard for hours. And it was during a rainstorm. They were lying in the prison yard zip-tied in this rainstorm. And then they transferred that day, they transferred 147 prisoners to different facilities all across the state.
Wow, so serious retaliation for this expression of protest that these prisoners at Kinross in particular were expressing. I understand that that several people have now faced charges for inciting a riot. Many have been transferred. Mm-hmm. I understand some are being isolated. Does that retaliation continue till today?
Yeah, so like I said, that day, almost 150 prisoners were transferred, but the most recent number I heard was 250 people ended up being transferred, targeted for being, the MDOC uses the term instigators.
This is the Michigan Department of Corrections.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's correct. So 250 people have been transferred, and they've been bumped up. Their security level to level 4. They've been isolated and they've been put. They've been charged. Many, if not all of them, have been charged with inciting to riot. Just a totally ridiculous charge. And some of these people that have been transferred, were not even at the march, that 500-person march I referenced. They were targeted. Yeah.
So those people who are charged with these extra charges, if they actually are convicted, this would add to their current prison sentences.
Yeah, yeah, and it would just have a lot of other ramifications on sort of the little privileges they may have been able to earn. Those are all being taken away now for these just made up charges.
Let's talk about the deaths. I mentioned 3 deaths. This is being reported by our organization, Michigan Prison Abolition. 3 deaths in 1 month alone within Michigan facilities, the latest one being Charles Lee Johnson. Do you connect these deaths specifically to the work stoppage on September 9th? Or is this an indication of the general dangerous situation that prisoners are being forced to live in?
I think the deaths speak to the total unsafe living conditions of the prisons, as well as the brutality that guards are willing to go to make the prisoners submit. So the deaths were kind of from different reasons. One of them in a Bellamy Creek Correctional Facility, a prisoner was tasered to death by guards. So that's an example of just these guards showing up and allegedly trying to break up a fight, but tasering this prisoner named Dustin Zott in the back of the neck 4 to 6 times and killing him. Whereas the recent death at Kinross, a man named Charles Lee Johnson, it seems that he was murdered by the prison system because of medical neglect. We're still getting information, and the Michigan Department of Corrections is not really cooperating in this way. But it seems that what we've been hearing is that there was like a lack of water, and that prisoners went to get help for him, and it took 15 minutes for prison authorities to show up, and by that point it was already too late.
So he needed water, and he literally died of not having access to water, as far as you can tell.
It seems like the water and some other health condition that was happening, and 15 minutes is a long time for anything, for any of these health people that are at the prison to show up. So it was a situation where the prison betrayed this person and left him to die in his cell.
So Duncan, how are people organizing within the prisons? From what you can gather, I'm guessing from the limited communication you might have with prisoners as well as their family and friends, is this a leaderless movement? Is it word of mouth? It might be dangerous, of course, to name anybody, but can you give us a sense of how prisoners organize in these kind of really horrific conditions?
Like you're pointing out, it is hard to get an idea of what exactly is going on behind bars, but there are outspoken prisoners across Michigan who write about these issues. A man named Lucino Hamilton has been outspoken about the racism of the prison system. A man named Rand Gould also writes and publishes online. And just recently, this man at Kinross named Anthony Bates, he came forward and is willing to, and he didn't participate in the actions on September 9th and September 10th, but he was in Kinross and he saw firsthand what happened. And he has come forward as a spokesperson because he's, and it's a really inspiring way, he has decided that like this enough is enough, and he's willing to put his name out there. And he just recently did some interviews with some newspapers and is trying to just like reveal the sort of repression and brutality that's happening up at Kinross right now.
Can you put the Michigan protests within Michigan prisons in a national context? We had covered around September 9th what had been happening in Alabama prisons with an interview with an inmate on a contraband cell phone, which was an amazing thing to be able to talk to somebody from within the prison system. But how has the work stoppage in Michigan, is it one part of a much bigger thing happening nationwide, or is Michigan one of the centers where it's happening?
I think I think that Kinross, in the narrative that's being built around the national prison strike, has been the sort of focal point of on like the level of prisoner resistance. It's on par in a really inspiring way with some of these other prison resistance movements, such as the Free Alabama movement, as you referenced. But I think that it speaks to this sort of national awakening of people and prisoners and realizing their power and realizing that they can coordinate. It is possible to coordinate action on this national scale, as we saw. And yeah, I think that the level of militancy and the level of courage that happened up at Kinross, I think that it hopefully inspires more action in the Michigan prison system as well as across the country. Because the struggle, as you know, in the Holman Correctional Facility in Alabama is ongoing. And the guards recently went on solidarity strike with the striking prisoners.
Really? At Holman? Yeah. Wow.
Just maybe a week or two ago, reports were coming out. So thinking in the national context of where to go from here and what are the next steps of pushing for an end to this horrible prison system.
And Duncan, we should of course step back and bring up the fact that this work stoppage is really remarkable because prisoners are required to work when they're inmates. They're essentially required to participate in the upkeep of their own prison, for which they're paid, you know, very little. People have used the term slave labor. And that this sort of labor strike style of protest is obviously quite powerful. However, there's been very little mainstream media coverage. I remember in California when they had mass hunger strikes protesting solitary confinement, there was a lot of coverage, even international coverage. Why do you think there's been not that much coverage of these work stoppages? Is it because it was a one-day thing or that, you know, it's just not something that's hit the radar or it's too spread out? What are the reasons why major news aren't covering it?
That's a good question. I wish I had the answer for it. I think that in some ways, one of the ways that prisons function in our society is to try to get us to forget about these people and treat them as a disposable population. And I think a lot of these mainstream newspapers and media sources fall into that narrative. I should also say that some of the mainstream coverage that we have gotten, the Detroit Free Press did a few articles, and some of those articles read as just mouthpieces for the Department of Corrections. So at least in Michigan, one of those articles especially was just totally defending the violence of the prison guards. So I think that that being said, I think that just in the past maybe week or so, there has been this more outpouring. And when people realize the significance of the first national prison strike in the history of our prison system, there has been more coverage. We just got an article in Jezebel, and there's a few articles in like sort of like more conservative news outlets, which is exciting. But I think that people, including newspaper editors, want to condemn and forget prisoners. And yeah, we should be really working to try to change that narrative and get their stories out.
How are family members of inmates trying to get the word out, trying to be a voice for their loved ones outside the prison walls? Have there been solidarity protests outside the prisons?
Yeah. So that's one of the best ways that we've been able to communicate and get information on up-to-date information on what's happening is through the loved ones and through the family members of prisoners who are able to communicate that way. We've also been staging sort of solidarity demonstrations in Lansing, Michigan, and in Detroit, Michigan. There were demonstrations on September 9th, one blocking a road for a few hours, one doing a noise demonstration outside of a jail. And there's been ongoing actions across the state to just get the word out because of this like disposability of prisoners, it's easier for people to ignore their plight.
So finally, what about people around the country? And actually, what are next steps? Is there a plan for another work stoppage and in anticipation of that? Are there suggestions you can make for those people around the country who, you know, really want to express their solidarity to do something about this, whether through financial solidarity or organizing their own actions on the ground?
Mm-hmm. I think that a first step is just hearing what the prisoners are saying, and we were able to get the list of 12 demands out of Kinross, including everything from slave wages being a complaint to problems with visitation. So, listening to the problems that prisoners are having and spreading that, and then also you can do real support work by calling into prisons where these inmates have been transferred to. And demanding that they their security levels be bumped down, they be taken out of isolation, and the charges be dropped, and there be no further repression against them. So we can put concrete pressure on the prison officials to stop repression against these prison rebels.
And is there a website or any place online that people can see these 12 demands and get any phone numbers where calls can be made?
Mm-hmm. We run a Facebook page in Michigan called No New Jails, No Old Jails. And then for the national coordination, a lot of it is being done by the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee. So those are two resources.
We'll post those links on our website later today so people can get a hold of them. Duncan, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Duncan Tarr is an activist with the Michigan Prison Abolition Group. He's also a student and worker at Michigan State University and is an anti-prison activist. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/ruwithsonali.